for 2018, and the text for the message is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 21. We from verse 1 to verse 14. So if you have the Bible with you, please turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 14. Verse 1 to verse 14. Everyone got it there? All right, Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 21 reads this way. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites." And so the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn protection to them. But Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Therefore David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And with what shall I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" The Gibeonites said to him, "We will have no silver or gold from Saul or his household, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us." For he said, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." Then they answered the king, "As for the man who consumed us and plotted against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the territories of Israel, let 7 men of his descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. So the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ir, whom she bore to Saul, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, and Meholathai. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell, all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. Now Rizpah, the daughter of Aihar, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock. From the beginning of harvest until the late rains pour on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Aihar, the concubine of Saul, had done. Then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jashbash, Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Bethshen, where the Philistine had hung them up, after the Philistine had struck down Saul in Gilboa. So he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hung, and they buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the tomb of Kish his father. So they performed all that the king had commanded, and after that, God heeded the prayer for the land. Father, we thank you once again for all the wonderful scripture that you have given to us. And it is for a purpose, that we may learn of your ways, that in this word, Lord, we may know the truth. So this morning, Lord, this text that I picked for Mother's Day, and may this text be words that honor mothers. May these words, Lord, be an encouragement to all mothers. Lord, that this mother's heart is none other than from you. So I pray, Lord, this morning that you will take this word, you will make it alive, make it real, and make it personal in the lives of your people. And so this morning, Holy Spirit, come and take this word to glorify the Father and the Son. Lord, cause your humble servant to speak, Lord, with your anointing and with your authority, that this word will rest and reside in the hearts of the hearer, and that you will yield forth good fruits. So this morning, we commit the service unto you in Jesus' most precious name. And God's men say, Amen. Amen. All right, today, as you know, we come together this morning for two main reasons. And the first one, of course, is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And then today, being Mother's Day, the second reason is also to take some time to honor all mothers through God's Word. Now, I've entitled this morning message, the Mother's Instinctive Love. Mother's Instinctive Love. And it is time to honor our mothers, grandmothers, and also great-grandmothers for some of you. And so I begin to say to all mothers, very happy and blessed Mother Day to all. First and foremost, let me coin the acronym for the word mother, M-O-T-H-E-R. Now, M stands for mother's heart that she has for her children. And O is actually the overflowing love, the care and the concern that she pour out for her children. And then T stands for the tears that she shed for them. Now, as you know, mothers, especially when the children go through teenage years, there will be tears that she shed for them. And H stands for the helping in any way that she can. And then often the time, of course, E stands for the encouragement that she renders when the children are downhearted. Last but not least, R stands for the reliable resource that the children can turn to when the need arises. When there's any need, whether it's a physical or whether you need help or whether, you know, whatever, in whatever way and form, when you call the mom, she will always be the reliable resource that the children can turn to. And so when you put all these letters together and they spell M-O-T-H-E-R, mother. Now the true value of the mother is often not fully appreciated. Mothering is one of the toughest jobs today. And they are lifetime tasks. It's not just for a few days, a few months. Lifetime tasks. And that this is a day to express our love, appreciation for mothers, and also a day for specially remembering them. And I do not believe that whatever you and I say is adequate enough or expressive enough to articulate the true value of a mother. Mothers carry the child in the womb for about 9 months. And during that period, the bonding with the child in the womb is very special and unique. And this is only experienced by none other than the mother, not even the father. And God created mothers with a very unique mother's heart. Motherhood is a special gift from God. And when a woman first gave birth to her first child, something miraculous happened. In a way, there are really two births. The first is the birth of a child. It is a miraculous gift of creation. And the second is the birth of a mother. And being a mother is not, of course, a walk in the park. The role required often is somewhat demanding. And as you know, she works 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and she's on call any time, any moment, any place. There's no sick leave, there's no leave, there's no pay, there's no superannuation. And by the time the child reaches the age of 18, a mother would have handled some extra 18,000 hours of child-related work. In other words, women who never have a child would have enjoyed the equivalent of about 4.5 years of leisure time. And so a mother inevitably leaves a deep impression on young children. And this is because a mother has the opportunity to spend, personally spend most of time with her children, especially during the children's formative years. Mothers, though your work may not be seen by the public, may be unrecognized by the people, your role and your work and your effort will not be in vain in the sight of God. And today, I want to share with you two powerful stories of mother's love. And what stands out in this story is the instinctive and the spontaneous love of two mothers. What would a mother instinctively do on the spot when the child gets into big trouble? The extent that the mother goes towards the children in this story is unimaginable. They have this attitude of, I do not care what the people think or say. I want to do whatever it takes to protect the well-being of my children. And I've chosen these two stories. One of them is a contemporary story that happened only 3 years ago in 2015 in the United States of America. And the story, the second story, is taken from the Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 21, the passage that we have just read. The two stories are very unconventional, I can assure you, and it's out of the ordinary. And so, here comes the first story. The story of a Baltimore mother. In April 2015, a 25-year-old man, an African-American, by the name of Freddie Gray, was arrested by the Baltimore police for possessing an illegal knife. And it was alleged that the police actually used unnecessary force against Freddie during the arrest, and he died while in police custody. And this resulted in a series of protests and riots by the many African American. And so on April the 28th, 2015, a mock riot in Baltimore, Maryland, broke out over the death of Freddie Gray. And while the riot was taking place, a concerned single-parent mother by the name of Toya Graham recognized from afar that her son was involved in the mob. And her son was participating in a violent riot, throwing rocks and bricks at the police. And so the instinctive and the spontaneous love of a mother kicks in. And she was very concerned for the safety of her son. And so she instinctively ran up to him. And she jerked him by the arm and then smacked her son's head and chased him away from the mob. And the son walked away from the riot area. And the mother managed to physically get him away from the rock throwers. And so she gave him a tongue-lashing scolding that only a mother could give to a wayward son. And so the first point is, it may look embarrassing to the public, but a mother's love is not afraid of embarrassment. What Mother Toya Graham did not know was that someone was actually videoing the whole scene on an iPhone. And the whole scene got uploaded to the YouTube, and the video went viral overnight. Within hours, the news and the video clips were covered by all the major television news networks. And later, she was interviewed on television. And she said, being a parent, she was very angry and embarrassed that her son would even got involved in a violent riot against the police. And she just wanted to get his son out of trouble and the mob. And the Baltimore Police Commissioner, Mr. Betts, saw the video and said, I wish I had more parents that took charge of their kids out there tonight. And Mr. Betts understand that parents possess the authority that a police badge cannot confirm. And so children realize that the mothers know them best and is more interested than anyone else in their well-being. And so that boy submitted to her motherly authority. And later the son was interviewed, and he admitted that he should not have been involved in the violent riot. And the son was thankful. And though his mother had embarrassed him in front of the world, but he knew that she wanted to protect him from the trouble and the bad influence he got caught up with. And later, this Baltimore mother, Toya Graham, was hailed as the mother of the year. And so the second point is, mother must not be afraid to exercise tough love when the situation warrants it. And she disciplined him in a dire situation to save him out of trouble. And after the incident, the New York Post on the front page, next clip please, reported of the riot. He said, "Forget about the National Guards. Send in the mom." So you can see, in a riot, if all the moms were to use tough love, there won't be any riot. And there's another good saying that goes this way: an ounce of mother is worth a pound of preacher. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of preacher. The second story is taken from the Bible, the passage that we have just read. I would call this the story of Mother Rizpah. And there was a period in Israel history when there was a famine during the time of King David. And the famine lasted 3 long years. It may be a natural phenomenon to have a famine just for a few months, but it went for 3 years continuously. And King David sensed that something was amiss spiritually. And so he inquired of the Lord the cause of this famine. And then the Lord came back with this answer. He says, "It was because Israel's previous king, Saul, and his bloodthirsty household killed the Gibeonites during the war campaign." And so the question is, why was it wrong to kill your enemy during a war? The historical background of the Gibeonites is this. Israel made a covenant with the Gibeonites about 400 years ago, earlier, during the time of Joshua. And after Israel was about to totally wipe out the promised land of Canaan, the Gibeonites was one of the people's group living in Canaan. And they knew their days were numbered. And so to avoid being killed, the Gibeonites disguised themselves as a pitiful and a destitute foreigner. They came to Joshua in advance to seek protection, and they signed a peace treaty with Israel. And of course, without seeking the Lord in prayer, Joshua was tricked and entered into this covenant with them and promised not to kill or to do any harm to the Gibeonites. And in return, the Gibeonites actually pledged themselves as servants to Israel. And so later, when Joshua conquered the whole of Canaan, he discovered that the Gibeonites were not foreigners of the land, but they were inhabitants in Canaan. And because Israel had entered into a covenant, Joshua knew the very solemn nature of the covenant. And so he would abide by the covenant promise and would not kill them. And Joshua knew that to break the covenant would be a very serious offense according to God's word. And so now you fast forward 400 years. When Saul came along, he was determined to massacre the Gibeonites out of misplaced zeal for Israel. And so a few years later, the Lord judged Israel with a severe famine for 3 years for the massacre that King Saul committed against the Gibeonites for breaking the covenant vow. Now, God is very serious about us keeping our covenant promises. What God promised to do, He will also absolutely fulfill it. And God wants the world to know that He is a covenant-keeping God. And He also expects us all as well to keep covenant vows. That is why in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 to verse 6, it says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasures in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messengers of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the works of your hands? Making a vow and breaking it is a very serious matter, and so do not take it lightly. Back to the story. So once King David knew about this, he set about to make right what had been done wrong. And so King David approached the Gibeonites to ask what Israel could do to atone for the sin, their sin, for breaking the vow. And the Gibeonites did not want money. They did not want other Israelites to be killed. But they did want some measure of justice. And so since the previous king, Saul, and his household were responsible for the massacre, they wanted seven members of Saul's descendants be executed and impaled under their hands. And so King David gave his word. So he handed over Saul's two sons and five grandsons to the Gibeonites. And King David was careful not to hand over Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, also the grandson of King Saul, because he had made an oath to be kind to Jonathan's son. And so the Gibeonites executed these seven lads. They hung them on the pole and left them in an open field to shame them. And here comes the main focus of the second story for today's Mother's Day's message. Rizpah was the mother of the two sons that were impaled on the pole, and she was one of Saul's concubines. And if you could pause and take time to imagine to be in her shoe as a mother, it would be enough to elicit some strong feelings. And here was a mother, a woman, once a high-ranking concubine of King Saul. She lost everything and became an outcast after King Saul died. She must be emotionally devastated. And it was later found out that Israel suffered 3 years of famine because of Saul and his household. Mother Rizpah would have felt the humiliation and the stigma that she carried because she was part of King Saul's family. As though the situation was not bad enough, now her two sons got executed and shamefully hung on the post. When that happens, the spontaneous love, the mother's love, kicks in. She did not want her son's dead body to be eaten up by vultures or the crow. And so she made a small sheaf tent of sackcloth out in the field among the rocks. And she made her guard post out in the open field. And every day she would go to the post to shoo away the crow and the vultures. She was determined even to protect the dead bodies of her two sons. And so in this example, she showed that the mother's love for her children extends beyond their death. And she was there from morning to evening. And she withstood the heat of the sun. Rizpah was not afraid of all the dangers, the jackals, the snake, the vultures that may attack her in the night. And so point number two, mother's love is not afraid of dangers because perfect love casts out all fear. And from the Bible text, it may not occur to you that these boys were actually hung from the beginning of the barley harvest, and this is during April, till the late rainy period, which is in October. That means Mother Rizpah was doing all these things for her dead son for a period of about 6 months. And so we can see that a mother's love is tenacious and willing to overcome all kinds of discomfort and inconveniences. Mind you, This mother was no longer young. She would have been in her late 50s or even 60 when she was doing this. And she did it over a long period of about 5 to 6 months with a message in mind that her son be given the basic dignity after death, that her son be taken down and given a decent burial. And in the end, she succeeded. The act of the mother's love was brought to the attention of King David. And the story of Mother Rizpah's love must have touched King David's heart. And he decided to give this young man a proper burial. And so together with all the other stolen bones of King Saul and Jonathan at another location, and King David actually ordered his men to bury them all at the family tomb of Kish. And all this took place because of the fearless and the tenacious love of a mother. Because this mother stood her ground to protect the basic honor of her son after death, her love has touched the heart of a king. So, point number four. Mother's love can have good influence and impact on the people around her. And because of a mother's love, King David arranged a proper burial for the whole household of Saul. So all mothers, be encouraged. Your love, shown in the area of tenacity, courage, strength, determination, commitment, sacrifice, will not be in vain. Even if it is not appreciated by your children or men on earth, the Father in heaven can see and reward you in due time, either on earth or in heaven. And for some other mothers, you may be going through some difficult times. And I know, at times, mothering can be difficult. You may be discouraged or want to give up because of some difficult situation you are encountering with your children right now. Sometimes the situation can drain you emotionally. Your heart may have hardened, and you have no longer the energy to love. Continue to pray and to love your children. Draw your strength and love from God, because God is the true source of love. Your personal tank of love may run dry, but God's love will never run dry. Only by drawing from God's love, you are able to continue to love. Let yourself be the conduit for God's love, and in due time, you shall reap outcome, good outcome, in one way or another. And so today, we set the day specially to honor you, mothers, for who you are, for all that you have done for your children, from birth to adulthood. And above all, the scripture, the Bible, Jesus taught us to honor our parents. Ephesians chapter 6, the famous verses 1 to verse 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, of all the commandments in the Bible, this is the only commandment with a promise. If you want to be well, the answer is simple. Honor your parents. Not only you will be well, but you will also live a blessed long life on earth. Many may say to me, Pastor, you just don't understand. My mother is different. She is not a good mother. And she has many flaws and mistakes in her life. She does not earn my respect in honoring her. Regardless of your opinion of her, you still need to honor your mother. The instruction in the Bible is very clear. It is unconditional. It has no ifs. It did not say if she is good, then you honor her. Every one of us must remind ourselves, our life starts in the womb of our mother. We receive our first nourishment from our mother, both inside her womb and also after we were born. Our moms continuously care and look for us, look after us from birth to adulthood. She provides for us. She attends to our physical needs. She attends to our sicknesses. She nurses us. She clothes us. She cooks for us. She fed us. She cleans up our mess. She carries out all the household and domestic chores. You can begin to see that mothering is no easy feat. And when you have children next time, you will experience and know what it takes to bring up your children. Then you begin to appreciate all the things the mother has done in raising you up. Hopefully by then, your mother has not passed away and you are still able to appreciate her more and honor her. And so honoring your parent is a vital and essential ingredient in your spiritual walk and your personal well-being. If we do not learn to obey, honor and respect our mom, whom we see with our eyes, then we will not learn to honor, respect, and obey God in our life, whom we do not see with our eyes. If you disagree with your mother, there is a way to disagree, to respond your differences with good manners and basic respect, because she is still your mother. And so in enclosing all children, today is a special day set aside to honor you, mom. Children, you can honor her by expressing one or more of the five simple but meaningful gestures of love. Not only on Mother's Day, but you can also do it on Other's Day, so that every day can be a Mother's Day for your mom. And so first act is words of appreciation. Tell her your love, you appreciate her for all that she has done for you. Or it can be a simple touch, give her a hug or cuddle. Or the third thing is in the area of time. You can make effort to spend quality time with her. Fourth area, most common, of course, is gift. And you can bring her out for lunch, a dinner, or you buy her a gift. And then fifth area is the act of service. Do something for her. Help her to vacuum the house, cook a meal for her, wash the dishes for her, hang out the clothing for her, and serve her coffee or tea. Last but not least, once again, mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers, we salute you being a mother. May the Lord bless you with many good and enjoyable years ahead of you with your descendant. I say descendant because it can be your children, it can be your grandchildren, it can be your great-grandchildren. All right. And so may your children rise up and call you blessed. And your husband also praise you. So praise the Lord for all mothers. Amen. Amen. Can I get the...